Hey friends, it's Crystal with a K here with another Steepy Watch. Sticky Finger Paul Pantry made the sweetest speech today about the heroic actions of Beef Punchley in pugilistically protecting the prize pantry's perfect pin party. And can we say, seeing Mr. Finger Paul Pantry in his retro purple and yellow striped jacket brought a little tear to our eye. On a lighter note, the hole is finally fixed! We've had a little fun at Denton's expense as they struggled to fix the mysterious hole in the sky of Eustabin, but those beautiful vistas are finally clear again. I know, a lot of you goofballs had a running gag about seeing people inside the hole. Sorry to burst your bubble. You all crack me up! I guess, just like Dentonic, you eagle-eyed steepies never know when to stop dreaming.
It's been a while since we recorded, and I have thought of nothing else but Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry in the interim. And I just want you to know that, Justin. I'm really excited for the canon to expand.
Hello, I'm so pleased to have you here. The rust storms have come early this evening.
He needs this.
Yeah, Griffin, you know what I'm looking for?
Shekels!
What?
Shekels to my lap.
Shekels to your lap?
Did you change his name halfway through that?
Cat-Bart.
What?
It's my cat.
Your cat's name is Shekels?
Bart Shekels.
Bart Shekels.
Okay, all right. All
right now, Shekels. I must spin the loom once more.
Okay.
Now, you called the cat. Hey, now, hold on. On the cat's behalf, you called the fucking cat over and then shushed it? That's bullshit, rude. Dude.
That's kind of shitty of me. Welcome to Taz.
I look forward to, eventually there will be an episode where it's just going to be, because I've watched enough like long-running series, where there's going to be just a whole episode about that guy.
Welcome to the show. Let's not waste any time. You remember what happened. Sticky Finger Paul Pantry burst into your abode at the, what is your arcade called?
It's called Poppy's Place.
Yeah, Poppy's Place. So before we get into this bit, just to help me understand a little bit, tell me about the area that we find ourselves in. It seems like it's going to be a little bit of an operating base for you all for a little bit. What does it look like?
Well, I assume just knowing his whole deal, he's probably hanging out by the, like, we probably found him by the Prize Redemption Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Do you Sticky have a, but is there like a back area and a front area? This is what I'm saying. Is there a, you know, arcade where people are doing arcade things and you have a separate little place of your own?
Well,
and what that looks like.
Emmerich has to have a workshop.
Perfect. Right. Yes, I think like, that's definitely part of this.
That's got to be back there with a work, you know, sort of like, you know, Max, you know, workshop in my life. You know, where
Max
workshop.
Max, the Max shop, as we call it.
He made himself a little stone out of stone, and it says Max Place, and it's so geez. He done the etching at work himself, and
that was the only thing I made.
I like when he changed his mind on the name halfway through and marked out, it says Max Pla, and he marked that out, and then itched in shop underneath it.
It's Max Pla shop. I can't.
No, that doesn't have skills. That's
yeah, right. That's important to know.
That has no applicable talents, which is why he's a podcaster.
Yeah, and then Justin does woodworking. I do metal. Griffin, I guess, can solder stuff pretty good.
Dad
just putters.
Dad raises workers.
Dad raises humans.
Salt
dad raises
earth.
Workers. Dad's more of a managerial type. Okay, Dad, so I can kind of imagine Emmerich's lab. Tell me about what else is in this room. You guys got you know what? I won't open it. I'll ask Griffin first. Griffin, Matt, tell me the room that's in your mind.
I think the main Poppy's area is very sort of 80s arcade-y, like neon trim around the walls, and it's pretty dark in here. I'm not imagining a Dave and Buster's situation where there's a prize like exchange thing, mostly because the prize pantry is right next door, and I do not think that Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry would allow that. But our little space where we do our simulations of the good life, I do not think are particularly well adorned or anything like that, just given the nature of the fact that it's all sort of illusory. It's just we just have a big room.
That is so cool, Griffin.
Not immediately accessible.
Thank you for bringing the listener in to your third eye. So there's a big room, Travis. I can't imagine there's any more room on this palette. But is there anything you want to
add? I'll see if I can scrape any colors together.
You did palettes. You were there.
Yeah, I know. I'm out of ideas.
Use that all up.
Well, that's why I'm doing it. Okay, go ahead, Trev.
Can I tell you what's fucking me up? I don't know if this happened to you guys, but because of the nature of like growing up in Huntington, where there was like the one arcade at the mall, I just for a long time I just assumed every arcade on Earth had like a it's like a mine themed.
Yeah, it's like a mine themed arcade. You know,
a lot about gold mining in there. I'm going to say that back here in the back, this is where we have a lot of like half fixed machines, a lot of the stuff that's like wheeled back. So along with Emmerich's workshop, there's also like, you know, skee ball machines, half dismantled. I'm going to say that there's like
stuff three... to fiddle with. Are you fiddler? Like you're fiddling with this stuff while you're kind of hanging around. They grab a skee ball, toss it around.
Yeah, I think it's probably also a little bit of like they cycle through because they're not going to like, because of the nature of it being nostalgic, like it's not like we can constantly put new games in. So I think there's a lot of like, okay, we're going to take the skee ball game back and we're going to redo the design. So now instead of being like a circus themed, it's now like an ice mountain, you know, fight the Yeti kind of skee ball game. And then it's going to be like an alien.
That'd be a fucking badass skee ball. Cool, you just, instead of trying to get it in holes, you just have to roll it so hard and fast to smash a Yeti's face.
Yeah, man.
At the back.
Dad, what do you see when you think about Emmerich's lab?
I think it would be, he's very secretive, so I think he would, if it's not a separate little back closet or something, I think he's got up like partitions of some kind or screens, you know, of some kind.
Is it sort of like a vibe of like making the sausage? Like if people saw how you did what you did, it would be a little bit disconcerting for them.
I think he's trying to, he's in the back. I don't think he wants anybody to see what he's doing. I just think he's a very creepy, you know, secluded kind of guy. I would add one thing to the other side. I would say that in our area, we've got to have like some couches.
Because
there are going to be times where we're going to be pulling all-nighters planning the perfect heist.
That's so right, Dad. A great point.
Need a place to crash.
I'm going to say that I've got, like, Beef's got a big comfy recliner, very broken in. Very much the dad from Frasier. Broken in chair. And then like a smallish TV that, like, with Emmerich's help, we've wired to get some, like, outside signals.
I love that.
So that I can watch.
I'm not sure you do have outside signals. I have to think about that. But
well, here's – but the only reason I want it is so that he can keep up with, like, the National Arm Wrestling Federation, the NOF. Yeah.
Maybe we just have a streaming channel.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we just hacked into the –
so this is going to fuck
there's
you
a
up,
hat rack. There's a hat – let me get in on it. There's a hat rack.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back, Mr.
The juices himself. Are flowing.
There's a hat rack.
Wait, is this a different hat rack
or
the same
two,
one?
There's two hat racks.
How many hats do these guys have?
Are there any hats on them?
This is actually going to tick you off, Trav, because he's sitting in your chair.
Aw, you son of a bitch.
I know, you just created it, and look who's getting the first sit, leaving his butt dimples behind. It's
well, I have to assume I've sat in it before this moment. I mean...
You see Sticky Finger Paul Pantry there. Do you take a seat? Do you? How do you react to that? How unusual is that?
I think he's like, hey, get out of my sit, boy. Hey, excuse me, Paul? May I call you Paul?
I'd rather you didn't. It's Sticky Finger Paul Pantry.
Okay, Mr. Pantry, would you please get out of my sit, boy?
Oh, this is special to you, is it? You know what I feel that way about?
Cereal?
Pies Pantry, my store that you robbed from just a few moments ago.
No, I believe that we attempted to stop that robbery, Mr. Pantry.
Take a seat. Let's talk.
I would, but you're...
He stands up and kind of puts his hands behind
Justin, back. I'm sorry. I have the most important question.
Yeah?
Are his fingers actually sticky? Did he get sticky fingers on my sit boy?
That's an excellent question.
He's got gloves on. They're purple. Okay. Velour gloves.
Thank God.
Presumably to preserve his ever sticky fingers.
Okay.
Mr. Sticky Finger Paul Pantry, first of all, I must say I'm a huge fan as a former practitioner of the mascottery arts. I think that you are a pioneer in this.
Well, we don't have any mascot. You know, we should work on that. I guess I'm as close to a mascot as we get over at the Prize Pantry.
I was thinking the same thing. But I am afraid there has been a point of confusion here. We intercepted this robbery and prevented it. We did not conduct any sort of illicit affairs on the premises.
He pulls out a phone or like a small phone. It wouldn't be a phone. It would probably be just like an overall sort of communications device because it wouldn't have outside world, but it's
like an iPod Touch.
Yeah, there you go. But it's definitely got in-park communications. He holds it up, and when he holds it up, you see a video clip that is clearly from security cameras, and he's fucking got you dead to rights. He is edited together like a greatest hits of all the dumb shit that you just did to fuck him up. He's got you. There's no doubt in your mind looking at this he's got you.
Hey, Justin, can I just say, I want to take a moment to appreciate your story weaving, because you have just introduced to me the very concept of if a mascot, like if Mickey came to life, would Mickey know that he was a mascot?
We're going to get a little bit deeper into that, so you need to hang with me, bud.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I wouldn't pontificate too much.
While this is all going on, Emmerich is like throwing tarps and stuff over his workbench and saying, oh, please go on. Please. Yes. Tell. Uh-huh. Yes. Sure.
So
and covering all his work.
It was good. You'll grab me. I reviewed the footage. You got extremely lucky, right?
That's mean what you just did. Trying to diminish our great efforts.
I'm just saying it's clear you haven't been around, and that's what I need.
Has anyone else reviewed this footage?
No, I know the game. I kept it to myself. In fact, I deleted it from the main servers. I got the copy, safe, right where I need it. And that's funny because that's where I have you. See, I don't care about the pen. But I know that Dentonic would care very, very much. So, here's the way it's going to work. You want to preserve your image? You want to keep Poppy's place going? Of course. You're going to do a little favor for me.
You should know that we are largely ambivalent about the well-being of Poppy's establishment. He has made some business decisions that we find questionable.
Yeah. He's miserable.
When Paul brings into threat like legacy, that kind of thing, Beef is going to stand up to like full height in front of him and say, so just so I get this clear, you're here in our private room with no one around, and the only person who has seen this footage is you, and you've deleted it. And you think you have us where you want us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you see his finger like hovering over a send button. Like,
Real quick, hey Beef, are you going to kill Sticky Finger Paul Pantry?
Yeah, they will come looking for me.
Oh, I'm sure they will. There's lots of places in this park.
You know what? I don't think you're the right guy, because I thought you were smart. And right now you're acting like someone who is not smart. So I'm going to go.
Wait, hold on, just one moment. I would like to maintain that at least 33 and a third and perhaps 66 and two-thirds percent of our organization is smart. And you're not going to find ratios like that in too many places.
I'll tell you what.
Please, let us hear out what you want. And I'm sure Beef can be a little more hospitable.
I'll give you all 30 seconds to talk about it.
Hey, Beef, in the future, if you could not threaten to murder someone unless you are willing to follow through with that act, that would be sort of strategically advantageous
Listen to me. Hear me out for 2 seconds before he starts talking. I have been down not this exact road, but a similar road before.
Liquor. Okay.
You guys have to trust me. Do one thing, and then the person knows that you've done it, and then they pressure you to keep doing more and more, and pretty soon you can't remember how you got to the place that you're in, and you're not in control anymore, and it just leads to trouble.
That's capitalism. So let's get on in there.
Let's hear him out, and then if you don't like it, you can murder him, okay?
Time's up! What's it gonna be? Threats or a little bit of thrills, huh? Threats or thrills? That's really? Good. Hold on, let me write that down.
I choose thrills.
I think we all are in agreement that we would like to hear the possibility of thrills. Just hear him out.
Beef?
Yes, we are listening. Just to clarify, if you give us this pitch and then we say no, you're going to release the video, right? That's the threat.
Well, no, the threat was you saying you were going to kill me.
No, I understand that, but
you
I was answering, right? I was answering a threat with a threat.
Oh, let's all be friends. Let's start fresh, huh?
Oh, I would love that much.
Beef, would that be okay? I'm Sticky Finger Paul Pantry. Everybody's my friend.
Okay, yeah, I'm listening.
So,
he gets at this point kind of a distant look in his eye. Like he's kind of like looking beyond you.
You know what? I haven't always been Sticky Finger Paul Pantry. I used to be, friends.
And he starts raising his eyebrows.
Friends with Short Doug up in Gutter City.
Now, you know you've been around long enough to know that lifers sometimes will refuse to admit that they have played a different character within Steeplechase. Mm-hmm. And instead will refer to that character as their friend.
Yes. And is Short Doug another character
that
we know
of? Do we recognize the name of Short Doug?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've heard about Short Doug in Gutter City.
What do we know about Short Doug?
We'll find out.
Okay.
You know what? Let me drop the pretense, because this is going to get confusing, okay?
And he goes and, like, shuts the door. Okay.
Okay, so I was Short Doug. In Gutter City. But eventually, I got too old for the gig. It's kind of strenuous. I had a brief stint as, old Doug, but never fit quite right. Nobody wants a short old Doug. So I got the new gig. And it's great. I love being Sticky Finger Paul Pantry. And honestly, Short Doug's a rough one. That guy gets into a lot of scrapes. He gets manhandled. It was a tough gig. But I do miss one thing. See, there used to be a big getaway scene. Right. After the Steals Well Diamond, the crooks would come in and they'd steal it from the Dusk Hotel. And then you got the crooks, right? The guests and staff, and they're all crooks, and they flee the scene, and they find a laundry parking lot. And then Short Doug, he's driving it, right? They're like, Short Doug, take the truck. And that was me. I got to drive it, the truck. And it looks like all the other laundry trucks, right? But it's not. It's the only one that actually drives, because it's not just a laundry truck. I mean, this baby purrs. Nothing in that world could touch her once the getaway started. But I mean, by design, literally, there's not a vehicle that's faster in all of Gunner City. Because what kind of chase would that be?
So, sorry, Sticky Fingers, Paul Pantry. You miss not the diamond.
Oh, no.
You miss driving the laundry truck.
The fastest truck in the entire layer. It was amazing. I used it for the getaway every night when they got that far. Sometimes they wouldn't make it the laundry truck, but when they would, I would do the getaway. And I called it the clean.
A clean getaway.
And it's a laundry truck.
Yeah.
Yes. It works on a couple of levels.
Yeah, I told my direct supervisor at the time, I told him about it, the idea, and I said, then should you, they should make it, they should call it that. And they said it was a good idea. They said they couldn't change it, but they said that I was allowed to call it that whenever I wanted to. So,
wow, nice.
Yeah. Good. So, no, I mean, I don't want to brag, but here's the deal. I miss one thing from Gutter City. It's a big stinking pile of trash. But I do miss one thing. I miss driving the clean. And that's what I want from you. I want you to steal the clean.
Who? Now, you saw in that video the issues we had stealing a tiny pen, right?
Yeah.
The thought of what swallowing a laundry truck could do to the inside of my body, it gives me a terrible fright.
I wouldn't swallow it. But
let me write that down. Hold on. Let me write that down.
Yeah, let's take notes.
Don't swallow this one.
Do not swallow the laundry truck. Okay.
Unless absolutely necessary.
Unless we need to, or shrink it down with some sort of magic beam.
Well, that won't be necessary. No magic beams required. It's hard light.
Oh, someone constructed a vehicle of hard light. Really?
That's right, and that's what I want. I want the prism that powers the clean. And I want you to get it for me. Now, I know that the last job didn't go exactly as you planned. At least, Christ, I hope not. But you're the baddest guys I know, so... And also, I got the leverage. You remember the leverage. So, what do you say?
We'll do it. Oh, we'll do it. We'll do it. No.
Wait, hold on.
A hard light vehicle?
Yeah. Could we get just another 30 seconds, if you do not mind, Mr. Sticky Finger Paul Pantry?
Take your time.
Hey, we got to at least negotiate for some payment
other
than just extortion. Do not just be so eager. Well, I need you to go back in there and say, actually, this sounds scary and dangerous, and we'll need lots of upfront capital. Do you understand? Hey,
what if you offered to just program the clean for him here?
That would also save us a great deal of effort.
I know, fellas, but I have to tell you, to actually program a moving vehicle of hard light, it delights me to think of, but that's beyond my capabilities. I would have to have some kind of guide that showed me. I need to get my hands on this prism as well.
Okay. It's also one thing that you would know, Emmerich, is that hard light and prism are interconnected. You can't replicate a hard light pattern on a different prism because of the way the light refracts differently in each prism. You have to hard code the programming to that specific prism.
So he could make another vehicle, hypothetically, but it would be different than this one.
And all the work that he would be doing, you know, he would just be like making it again. And it wouldn't be his. That's not the point. I mean, the point is that it wouldn't be the same.
Nostalgia. What a turd. Okay. Hey, real quick, I have a question for you, Mr. Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry.
Please call me Mr. Paul Pantry.
Okay. The diamond you
mentioned. Please call me Mr. Fingers Paul Pantry.
Yes, Mr. Fingers Paul Pantry. The diamond you mentioned, is
the Steelswell diamond.
Yes. Is it unique or valuable in any way?
Trash. We go through three or four of the things. Oh, we used to at least go through three or four of the things every month. I mean, they could replicate that. It's a 3D printed little stone. People would take it for a souvenir or they just lose it sometimes.
Okay, so listen, as mentioned, obviously I'm the big dumb one. But here is my question for you, Mr. Fingerspaw Pantry. If we don't do this,
yes. You
release the footage, yes?
Well, I mean, I didn't think, I thought we had taken threats off the table.
No.
I thought we were just friends working together.
Yes, but I'm just establishing baseline. This is heat removed. And then if we fail while trying to do it, we're going to get in serious trouble.
And honestly, if you fail while you're trying to do it, we're fine because I don't want to get tied up in any of it.
This is what I'm saying. So if we get caught trying to steal a truck, we get in trouble.
Oh, boy.
And
you should be even out of your lair. It'll be bad.
Right. And if we succeed and get you the truck, we're just back at zero. We're just back at neutral.
Well, there's damages. There's hurt feelings to consider. It very much pained me when you stole my pen at my very exciting party that I planned.
Not as much as it pained me, I assure you.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make, and Montrose, I think, can take over from here,
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
What is in it for us?
Oh. Well, I mean, your rep won't be ruined. What, do you want money?
We do. Joking aside, we are friends here, and you have come to us with this ask because you recognize a spark of talent in us. Or else I assume you would have gone to one of the many other disreputable organizations present here at Steeplechase. You know us as consummate professionals, and when you deal with consummate professionals,
you have done nothing to assure your status as a consummate professional.
I look down at his screen and I say, "Why, yes, I suppose that you do have a video of us screwing the pooch, so to speak. You, however, do not seem to have any evidence of our other criminal activities. Maybe you're assuming the wrong thing about us."
Oh, a little bit of mystery, huh? I love that. Okay.
Griff, are you trying to persuade him to pay you?
Yeah.
Okay. You will get paid for this job because it's a job and it's Blades in the Dark and you do jobs for money. I would normally say this would be a 6-suite job, which is a standard score, decent loot. But because of the blackmail and whatever, I think he's leaning more towards 4 coin. So if you can persuade him to, I'll cut you a little bit extra. I'll get you the 6.
Okay.
But I'm going to need a consort, I guess, right? When you're swaying people in a way that is not.
Montrose, can I talk to you for just a second?
Yes.
What if we took the standard pay, but asked him to connect us with some of these people in Gutter City? Gutter Town? Gutterburg.
Gutter City.
Gutter City.
That's a bunch of people play acting at criminal activity. I believe at the Buttercream we saw where the real, real stuff happens. I am not concerned about making friends in Gutter City.
Now, wait, hold on.
I'm not concerned about making friends in Gutter City. I mean, it's called Gutter City.
Yeah. Listen, I know that this is about much more than just a truck to you, right? It's about the thrill you felt.
That's true.
You piloted that beautiful vehicle down the streets, making hairpin turns to evade Johnny Law. Oh, what if...
I mean, there's no streets, but yeah, absolutely.
There's no streets in Gutter. Where's the gut? Well, those are...
It's all alleys.
Paul.
It's a city of alleys.
But then it's just, aren't the alleys then become streets?
This is a semantic argument, Mr. Fingus Paul Pantry. Listen, in exchange
for fair... So wait, is Sticky your first name?
Yeah, Sticky. I don't know, Travis. It's all makeup. Make-em-ups. I don't know. What do you want from me? It's not a real guy.
His real name is Sticky Fingers, but then his mom, Mary Fingers, married a man named
Paul. His name is Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry. Please continue.
Okay.
Listen. In exchange for fair compensation, preferably a number that is cleanly divisible by three, we can not only deliver you the truck, Mr. Sticky Finger Paul Pantry, we can deliver the thrill. We can take you along with us, bring you under our protection, secure your anonymity, and you can be the getaway driver of a real deal heist.
Well, that sounds great. I have less than zero interest in that because I do not want to be arrested and or go to jail, and I want no actual danger for myself whatsoever. But I will. Okay, we can work something out.
That was also Justin in his head going, I don't want to do this voice. I'm not doing this voice for like four more episodes. Are you kidding me?
100%.
I'm going to stay in this room
and go on vocal rest.
Okay, Griff, let's try Sway here. Let's sway him. Let's see how that goes.
Okay. We'll go risky standard. That's a 5.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make you a deal. I'll give you 6 sweets. But I need a little help from you once you're back to hold on to it for a little while for me. A little bit of storage. Can you add that to your list of services?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. We will need time to store it for you.
You are such an odd duck. Sometimes I feel bad I haven't gotten to know you better because you're so close.
I prefer it that way.
Yeah, I think I do too, actually. Okay, good. We got a plan. Here's the way it's going to have to work, though. It's a big room full of the same laundry truck. And you won't know which one is the clean until they go to steal it, until the getaway starts. So, in order to get to that point, you gotta make sure whoever's doing the heist pulls it off.
Christ.
But they can't know you're helping, or else they'll complain. You just gotta... You gotta steal the gem without doing anything to steal the gem.
So, okay, interference.
Not so much interference. It sounds like we are going to be... Angels in the outfield.
This is what I mean. We're running interference, right? So as things would disrupt the heist, we're just going to bump them.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of putting it. And then you have to steal everything from them. And then you have to steal the truck. And it's easy. It's clean.
Yes. Very good play on words. Okay. So, Paul... Mr. Fingers Paul Pantry.
Yeah.
The play acting heist works. Can you run through that for us?
Oh, I couldn't dream of it. I mean, it's been years since I was friends with Short Doug. I mean,
right.
Is there a new Short Doug?
I don't know. I'm here in front of you.
Okay. One thing though. Did you mention that the participants in the heist are both guests and the workers of Gutter City?
Yeah, they're cast and guests.
And how are the guests selected, or is it everyone who's a guest there gets
to
do it?
Well, the people that have wanted the experience of pulling off a heist in Gutter City. I mean, it's a dream. The smoky alleys and the shadows, and you never know who's behind you, and the twists and turns. It's really an amazing place if you can get past the smell.
Oh, I have been laboring under a misconception this whole time. I thought Gutter City was a bowling-oriented level. You talked about gutters and alleys.
It's an uncommon mistake, but I suppose these things do happen.
This will be more difficult than I actually imagined. Maybe we need 8 suites?
Bold.
That's real. Hold on. Let's obviously.
Because it's not a bowling.
Yeah, we can talk as out
you would
loud.
Know, and, by the way, you're pretty close to Gutter City. You would know it's not a bowling.
We can speak out loud in front of Mr. Fingerpaw Pantry and say that he is, of course, not going to give us 8 suites. But Emmerich, I really appreciate the effort that you have shown in trying to walk back your earlier unchecked enthusiasm for the job. I think that with our next client, I think that will benefit us greatly. I think the ship has sailed.
I should do it earlier in the process.
I think that's great. Yeah, wouldn't you agree, Mr. Sticky Finger Paul Pantry? If
he's gone.
So you're in. This is great. I don't know anything about the job, but I can point you in the direction of somebody that does.
Will they have an easier voice to do?
God, I hope so. Okay, listen, I'm going to get back to the pantry before people start to miss me, because they love when I'm around. You should change, though. Remember, only black and white.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
I'm Lisa Hanawalt.
And I'm Emily Heller.
Wow, Emily, we've been doing this podcast for 10 years.
I know, but hey, don't worry. You can jump in at literally any episode and hear us talk about some of our favorite stuff. Caterpillars becoming butterflies.
Martha Stewart flying around in a private jet full of trees. Yes, you heard me right. Trees.
Neighbors becoming enemies. Just kidding.
Whatever messed up stuff we can find on Wikipedia.
Our impeccable taste in everything from dogs to TV shows to bodily functions.
And horses. Lots and lots of horses. Come for our horned up rants about the world. Stay for the catchy theme songs.
You might not learn anything, but we're a good hang.
Baby Geniuses. Every other week on MaximumFun.org. Baby Geniuses,
tell us something we don't know.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Our comedy podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, just celebrated its 15th anniversary.
It was a couple months ago, but we forgot.
Yeah, completely. Our silly show is 15 years old. That makes it old enough to get its learner's permit.
And almost old enough to get the talk.
Wow, I hope you got the talk before then. A lot of things have changed in 15 years. Our show's not one of them.
We're never changing, and you can't make us.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, the same forever at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember every moment of it like I'd written it myself. The rain drizzled down like a dirty sheet sliding off a hotel mattress. It was a slow night in Gutter City, which isn't as nice a town as the name might make it seem. My name's Dollar Davis, and for the worst part of my life is a private eye for people who can't afford one of the better connected dicks. I try to set myself apart by being a fair dealer, right down the middle. I'm no whippoorwill, mind you. I've given plenty of mugs their final belly button piercing. But I've never put down someone who didn't deserve it except for once. And that one time is why I keep my whiskey bottle closer than a mama hen and her chicks. That last metaphor was thirsty enough to put me in the mood for another drink, but after two twists of the knob, that's when they walked in.
So what do you guys look like?
That was so good, Justin. I especially love the part about better connected dicks.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
What does Darla Davis see?
I'm going to say Beef has gone like full Dick Tracy thug. So like square shouldered trench coat, like beat up fedora, scuffed shoes. You know, just like clearly is like this guy is cut and paste from, hey, what do you think we're doing here, boss? That kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's going for that kind of dumb thug look.
Dad, I have a person that is in my mind that I imagine when I hear from Emmerich, but I'd love to hear from you before I bias everyone.
You mean his physical appearance?
Yes, I mean his physical appearance.
Very, he's very thin. I think I've used the word waspish before. And he is, in this instance, he has a mustache.
Mm.
He has mustachios.
We love that.
His only affectation to fashion, I guess, or to stand out is it's a really beautiful mustache, curled up on the ends. And he loves to wear coveralls. So he's wearing black coveralls with like a cowl, like a hood over it. That's also black. And some black goggles, like welder's goggles.
Okay, cool.
Justin, I'm just going to add to my load a reflective vest to keep Emmerich safe at night walking through the streets.
Oh, good. Yeah. Glow tape.
Glow tape. Emmerich. Yeah, maybe one of those flashing headlamp.
Yeah.
For Emmerich.
I'll make mine easy for you, Juice. I'm human Darkwing Duck.
Wait, Darkwing Duck's not human?
Travis, come on. Don't waste my time. Human Darkwing Duck. Guy got a cape. The cape has two colors. The inside's a different color from the outside. It's a lot of purple, wide brim.
Now, he did say black and white.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a purplish black. And
it's that black that's so you black. It. It's
almost an aubergine.
Yeah. Yes. And no pants. No, there's pants. There's definitely pants. I think the cape is what makes it sort of stand out. The belt too, a big Gucci belt buckle right in the middle of it. Maybe Chanel. I forget which one has like the big letter on it.
And so Darla says all that, and each one of them more beautiful than the last, with legs that go all the way. I could tell they were sizing me up too. Dark brown skin, hair cut short enough so that no heavies can get a handful. A long gray jacket with enough pockets to hold a lot of economy class tickets to the mortuary. And of course, matching black turtleneck and dungarees, rain or shine.
Are economy class tickets to the mortuary bullets?
Yeah. Our guns or knives or whatever.
Okay, you know, yeah, gotta. And so, where are our legs going to?
All the way, maybe.
They connect at the middle and the floor.
It's been a while since I have visited Goto City. Do we often have to describe out loud what we're wearing up here, or is that sort of a personal characteristic?
Who are you? Are you talking? Is this what you're... Oh, this is her say this. No, I asked you guys. That's why I said it like this.
Okay.
And that's why you answered like my brothers and my father. And that was just to sort of establish what you guys look like. I had been imagining Philo from UHF for Dad, so I'm happy to know that he's... Okay. So not that I don't appreciate the eye candy, boys, but what exactly brings you into my office today?
Crime.
Crime. You know that I am Darla Davis, private investigator, right?
Yes.
So... what crime do you need me to stop?
The crime of
the crime of let's start over. Not crime. That was a joke. We are here as representatives of a sort of what I believe is a mutual acquaintance. One Short Doug.
Short Doug?
Yes, is that
Did you say Short Doug?
I think you know that is the name I said.
How is he
looking? Because you repeated it.
I mean, when he, last time I saw him, he still looked the exact same, face of an angel, head just as bald as a newborn baby. How's he looking?
He is looking rather sticky and excitable.
That's Short Doug for you. You know, the nights are a lot longer without Short Doug around. Light things up with a little smile from time to time. So what do you need from me?
Well, we don't need anything so much as Short Doug needs your assistance.
With what? I'm listening.
Someone else want to step in here? Because I feel like I've been doing all the talking.
Beef, during this time, has been studying her reactions to this. I want to try to determine, much like we just had that conversation with Paul and being a friend of Short Doug and all that, Beef wants to figure out how, like, bought into this private investigator role she is.
Here's what I would say. From your time there in Steeplechase, you should assume that everyone, like, that sort of like dropping of the mask slightly that Sticky Finger Paul Pantry did, in even reflexively putting the mask back up, that is that. So we don't have to have this conversation repeatedly.
Okay.
Which I know that I just opened the door to.
Yeah.
It's safe to assume everyone's completely bought in.
Okay. Then let me put it a different way. I'm studying this private detective to see how, let's say, scrupulous she is, because Short Doug was on the crime side of things and driving the getaway vehicle, and she is feels positive towards him, is she like, I'll do anything for a dollar, or like, at the end of the day, I'm still gonna like uphold the law?
Here's what I imagine Sticky Figure Paul Pantry would have told you before you departed. Which, by the way, I wanted to ask you. I wanted to jump into the world to try to set this like noir tone, but I did want to ask you, do you all, how did you all get up to Gutter City?
Sticky Finger Paul Pantry had to coordinate that for us, right? Like, moving between layers is not free and easy. So,
well,
we've
gotten a taste of it, right, with the buttercream sled.
Yeah, but
the
I also
undercarriage.
Yeah, I also think
I liked mine better, frankly, but the buttercream sled.
I think the undercarriage is a last resort means of transport for us.
Oh, you would like that, wouldn't you? But no, the undercarriage is pretty much the main sneaky way. Shit. It's extremely painful. Okay. It's extremely painful and dangerous every time.
I'm just saying, picture like some little like borrower-ass characters like on a tiny sled, sledding down a cake of buttercream.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing. It's amazing. But you're up here now.
Okay.
Wait, what was I on before you guys got me?
And you were talking about Paul Pantry would have told us about...
Would have told you... Darla Davis is a private investigator, and as a private investigator, she is someone who is comfortable in the gray between good and bad. She's got her own moral code, but if the cops are on one side and the crooks are on one side, she's her own side.
Okay, great. Since we jumped into it and didn't have time for like discussion ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Does this call for a flashback, or can we just say, like, there was a discussion between the three of us?
What specifically?
Well, how much we're going to
figure out our approach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great, I love that. Let's do a flashback, and you three are walking up to Darla Davis's office, where Sticky Finger Paul Pantry told you it would be. You notice, by the way, as you're walking through, that Paul Pantry was not exaggerating. These are alleys. They're not buildings. As far as you can tell, this is all, like, imagine a city of back entrances of hanging lights,
yeah,
being circled by mosquitoes, fire escapes, that kind of thing. But no, like, grand entrances. It's all alleys.
I have to imagine, too, a lot of overusage of, like, dead end and no exit signs.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, we get it. Okay, you've said, yeah, we get, it's a double entendre, it's dead, okay.
So, before we head on up there, if we could just have a quick team meeting, I do think we should not volunteer that we are criminals now.
We shouldn't mention anything about crime.
Do not mention crime whatsoever. We are just trying to find out, trying to get the lay of the land, so to speak. If
here's what I'm thinking. If this is, you know, we think about it as experiential for a guest, right? What if we say it's like a VIP, we're hiring Darla to help with the heist to make sure that this guest who's participating in the heist, who's going to drive the getaway vehicle,
slam dunk,
has a good experience. Beef. Maybe we say it's like a friend of Short Doug or like a friend of Paul Pantry who's here. Or, you know what I mean? Like a friend of Denton, maybe? Somebody who'd like, we want to make sure we really like grease the wheels.
I think that's exceptional.
Wonderful. Wonderful idea.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? You just walked past a guy and he's holding, he looks kind of down on his luck, but he's holding a saxophone. Can I treat you gentlemen to a song?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Play it right now.
You know... Do you know Baker Street?
That'll be five coins, gentlemen.
I assumed that was you warming up. How about that song?
Hey,
do you need to tune a saxophone? I'm not sure how that works.
He pulls a switchblade out of the end of the saxophone. Hey, I said that's going to be five coins. Oh. I run an honest business here, and you said you wanted a song.
Yeah,
now, but are you all going to start digging into your pockets, or am I going to start digging into your guts?
Okay, we're going to go.
Yeah,
hey, I want my five coins.
Well, here's the issue, sir. We know that we are not stabbed in the future, so this threat that you are trying to establish is...
All right, you guys are trying to confuse me with a bunch of highfalutin brainy guy talk. Sure, I went to a city college, but I'm not ashamed of it. Okay, you three.
Wait, which
get on
one?
Out of here. You get... Sorry.
Which city college?
Gutter City College.
Oh, you know, my friend Derek went to Gutter City College. You know him? He was the communications major.
Yeah, and I hated him.
Yeah, he said he hated you too.
Well, I'm glad to know where I stand, and I want to know where you all are standing, and that's far away from me. Get moving, you
play
mugs.
Us, if you don't mind, play us off with another one of those beautiful
melodies. Really
melodies.
Pushing your luck, pal.
Traveling music. We need traveling
luckily,
music.
I just got warmed up. All right, only the first two are free. Get moving.
So, how can I help you?
Do you know a guy who plays saxophone outside? What's his deal?
That's Mean Doug.
Got a lot of Dougs.
Yeah. Listen, we are here to facilitate a memorable experience for a certain VIP, if you catch my drift.
Oh.
This sort of job.
A big chunk of cheese.
A big old hunk of Swiss. But it is vital that we do so from the periphery, from the shadows, so that the experience is left untainted for the participants.
So you're wanting to make something go real smooth where it might be a little bit rocky.
That is precisely our intent.
Can I offer you boys a cigar?
Yeah,
real
that sounds
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Bolidaire's, two for a quarter.
Okay, yeah, I'll take one.
And Darla takes one and sort of effortlessly tosses it in her mouth and lights hers. And what did you want? You want one, Beef?
Yeah.
Okay. Here you go. She tosses you a cigar in bed.
He bites the end off, you know, in like that,
very
like.
Very cool.
Yeah, very
cool.
Heavy.
You gotta bite through the cap. Mm.
There is just nothing like that first smooth, satisfying hit of tobacco.
Can
we finish the cigar beat?
No, that's it.
I haven't lit mine.
Okay, he already tossed you the match. Go light yours in private. Yeah, Dad, go ahead.
Emmerich would like to survey this office and see if there is any hard light work going on.
Oh, the match went out.
Give him another match. God.
Okay, Dad, go ahead and give me a survey.
Okay, not risky. Controlled?
Yeah. Yeah, controlled. Controlled, by the way, I was reading stuff and trying to get a better clarification on that. Controlled, here's a good rule of thumb, is that if you don't pull off your role in controlled, then you can take it again. So to me, I think that's probably a good metric for controlled is could you do it again if it didn't work?
And
I think
the second time is risky, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's a solid metric. Like, could you do it twice with no issues?
Right. So like taking a swing at someone is like, they're not going to stand there and let you take a second swing.
Right. And if it's a high pressure situation, like last time we were like looking for the bad dudes, right? Like that is in the crowd at the prize pantry. Like that is something that you would probably get one shot at. Like you wouldn't, because it's a shifting situation and that kind of thing. But go ahead. Well, Dad, you rolled a two.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not great.
You actually, while you're looking around, you get something in your eye.
The good news, though, Dad, is that you have failed this survey role, and that is sad for everyone. But you can you can do it again.
I would like to try it again.
Whoa.
Now this
time risky.
This time it'll be risky because you've been looking around for a while, I guess. Yeah, darling, my kids.
Yeah, it's going to catch you. Well,
Christ.
Well, you've rolled a one this time, Dad. And I here's what I will say. You are unable to tell if this is hard light stuff. Then it's brand spanking new, or it may not be at all. But as far as you can tell, no hard light present. Which does not. I should clarify. It does not mean that there is hard light present, so you may be right about that. You just have no more certainty about it than you did before.
How's that? Gotcha. Okay.
Darla, if we did want to surreptitiously implant ourselves in the proceedings, what do you think would be the best sort of window of opportunity for us to do so?
Well... Are you all talking about the diamond? Just so we can all be on the same page.
Sorry, can I have another match real quick? It's a real pain in the ass. I just can't. Do you have like a lighter or
just matches. I'm lighter. What lighter did you say? No, just matches.
Yeah, what year?
Then she digs into her drawer and she's got like probably 150 matchbooks and she takes another one out and throws it to you.
Is there anything written on the cover, Justin?
Oh, that's what I was gonna ask.
let me take care of it for you. And Darla stands up and in like a pretty condescending way, lights your cigar for you and kind of shields it from the wind and then goes and sits back down.
Like she's lighting a cigar for a baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, when that happens, Beef is going to play it like, well, thank you, I couldn't have done it without you. A little flattered. He's going to play into the condescension. I'm going to say Beef likes detective novels, maybe. And so if she's going to play the, like, they walked in, legs all the way to the ground kind of thing, he's not going to not play into it.
Okay. We'll do that.
Oh, well, I sure am nice to depend on, someone to take care of you. Thank you so much. Make me feel safe.
Well, you're real smart to know what side your bread is buttered on. Now, tell me, are we talking about the diamond?
The steel well?
Steel's well diamond. That's right. Yes, you're the smart one of the group. The real sharp tack.
That is, I would say, undecided at this point. We have not really established roles that firmly. But, yes, it's the diamond. That's it. That's the diamond. You know it.
Steals well. Let me think on this for a See, I would love to help you all with your proposition, whatever it may be. You want it to go one way, you want it to go another. But I like to run a real clean table here, so I don't like to get my hands as warm as things tend to get around the Steel's Well Diamond. But let me think, for a friend of Short Dog. All right, here's what we'll do. You want my help assuring that the theft of the Steel's Well Diamond goes real smooth. I need your help with something first.
We are neck deep in favors already, but...
Oh, then certainly one more won't hurt.
Yeah, toss and it mine's, on the pile.
Mine's real easy, too. I simply need you three to buy me a great deal of pornography.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned. Audience supported.